Welcome to episode one of the Ball is Life podcast. I'm your host, Kevin. So a thought came to me the other day, making me rethink my idea of fandom in the NBA. Does being an NBA superfan mean that you choose the best players in the league as your favorite? Or should your favorites be the lesser known? We know LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, Kawhi Leonard, and Giannis Antetokounmpo are among the top because of their skills for the game. But because of this, it also brings these players mass popularity and the spotlight of attention. But they can't be the only ones with great skills in the NBA, right? Not everyone makes it into the league, and there are many skilled players that play amazing each night, but don't get the recognition due to the fact that they can't always put up big numbers consistently, or their personality doesn't really mesh with the attention. I would argue the more vague knowledge and fandom for lesser-known NBA players is a greater proof of dedication. Look at players like Chris Middleton or Steven Adams. Not flashy in their own rights, and even though they aren't household names, they still contributed greatly to helping their teams make it to the previous NBA playoffs. So why don't we ever hear people say that their favorite player is, well, I don't know, Darren Colson, for example. He has one of the meanest crossover highlights of this year. So I challenge you, the listener, to look at those lesser-known players that are killing it in the NBA and try giving them a chance too. Maybe it might spark an even greater passion for the NBA through those players. Well, my next guest falls into this camp of loving the NBA so much because his favorite players are some of the most least known characters ever. Tyler Hansbrough, Brian Scalabrine, and of course, Jimmer Fredette, naming a few. If you don't know these names already, don't worry, I didn't either at one time. And most casual NBA fans don't either. Welcome to the show, the LeBron James to my Kevin Love. No, wait. That's not right. The LeBron James to my Tristan Thompson. That still doesn't sound right. Let me try again one last time. The LeBron James to my J.R. Smith, teammate and consistent MVP of my college intramural basketball team and the league as a whole every year, the co-host to my advice podcast. Please welcome to the podcast, Joey Capistania.
We just saw man fly. Big time plays, big, big time plays.
You don't like NBA basketball!
Don't reach, young blood.
What did I just listen to?
That is the theme song to my new podcast, the Ball is Life podcast. So what do you think?
I don't know how I'm just going to talk now. Because I'm too hyped. I just want to play after hearing that.
So, Joey, longtime friend, how do we know each other?
Well, it all started a long, long time ago, at the beginning of our college careers.
And would you say our friendship developed on the court?
Yep, developed on the court. We took a step out of class. And I don't think you ever played basketball at that point. So,
no.
You know, we just, well, we were kind of friends before, so we kind of hung out, went to the gym, took a few shots, it taught you a few things. And then played some pickup for the first time for you, I think. And then from there, we just slowly gained some good camaraderie, good team chemistry. And we went from nobodies to intramural champions.
So yeah, like that is an excellent summary of how our friendship came to be. And obviously, I had never actually had a real passion in high school for the basketball, for the NBA. But meeting you guys and having that community really started that.
Personally, I think the community is the best part about being involved with basketball, especially at a place like college or university, wherever you are. If you go to the court every day, you're going to meet some really awesome people, make some really awesome friends, and that's one of the best parts about playing the game.
So, Joey, I kind of copped out with you because you are one of my biggest basketball fan friends.
Of course.
And we played on an intramural team. Champions, of course, like you said.
Yep.
But I gotta ask you, Jimmer Fredette, what's with that?
What is there that you need to ask?
Okay, so for the people who don't
know, I can tell you it all.
Who is Jimmer Fredette?
Jimmer Fredette is arguably the best player to ever play basketball. And that is ahead of Michael Jordan, ahead of LeBron James. He is putting up numbers that you just would not believe. He is what's he averaging right now? I'm very curious. I'm going to tell you guys right now. how good okay. this guy is.
Well, Joey is going to tell you how good he is.
Oh, I have it right here. He's playing for the Shanghai Sharks right now, I believe.
Not an NBA team.
They might as well be. They're good enough. I think Shanghai is located somewhere in the... could be the Eastern Conference, could be the Western Conference. It's pretty much the other side of the globe, so...
They're paid.
Pretty much even, with depending on the way you go. Mm-hmm. But he is averaging 38 points per game right now. That is pretty average for him. But for anybody else, I'm sure that would be okay at least.
So, a little background. Jimmer was... I believe he was a first-round pick. Sacramento or the Bucks?
I can't remember what pick he was. Oh, yeah. His first round. Oh, yeah. First round, 10th pick to the Bucks.
To the Bucks, that's right. And then, unfortunately, through his career, he was hopped around, pushed around to different teams. His college days, he did amazing numbers, same thing, crazy plays. Unfortunately, he didn't get the same type of recognition and minutes that he warranted from his NBA teams. Isn't that right?
And he has to be like the... He has to carry the team. Like, he feels more comfortable carrying the team. He's a... volume shooter, he wants most of the shots, but when you're a rookie coming onto an established NBA team, you're not getting the minutes, you're not getting the shots. You gotta take what they give you, and that's just not his style, you know? He wants to carry.
Exactly. And so, through kind of his hard career, where he was kind of like tossed around from team to team, he eventually was waived, and then he went to play for the China League, for the Shanghai Sharks, where they call him... Do you know what they call him?
They call Jimmer Fredette.
They call him Jimmo Dashin, which translates to the lonely god or the lonely master.
Why do they call him that?
I don't really know. I think it's because at the time he was the only Westerner playing for that team, the only white guy. And he was putting up those huge numbers. November 11th, Joey, do you remember that date of this year? 2018.
I would never forget November 11th. That was a very important day.
Jimmer Fredette scored 75 points.
That's right, baby. I watched it. Well, I didn't watch it live. I wish I did. I watched the highlights on YouTube like 20 times. I couldn't sleep without watching those highlights.
Unfortunately, they did lose the game, but amazing plays for Jimmer, and it kind of gave him another chance, possibly, to get signed back into the NBA.
Yeah, I don't know what he'll do, because I think he likes being the star and he likes being the center of attention. Not that, like, he's a pretty humble guy, really good guy, but at the same time, everybody likes to be the leader, you know, if you're good enough. So he might go to the NBA, and I hope he does, so I have a chance to watch him live on in the best league in the world. But if he doesn't, he's just gonna keep tearing up the China League. Best player in the league.
Oh yeah, definitely. By far one of the best players in that league. So why is he your favorite player? Or why are some of these other, like Tyler Hansbrough or Brian Scalabrine, why are these guys such important players to you?
Well, Jimmer Fredette especially, because I used to be a huge college basketball fan. Mm-hmm. But watching March Madness one year, I watched a majority of the games, as many games as I possibly could. And every single time I saw BYU play, Brigham Young University, that's where he played in college, this random guy that nobody ever heard about before would just absolutely light it up, and he'd be dropping shots from the logo. He'd be like, he'd just shoot threes no matter what. Early in the shot clock, horrible shot selection, and he would just drain on people. And he would just totally carry his, well, he didn't really get any support from this team. It's pretty much all him. So that tournament was so hype that I had to become a fan. So at this point, now Jimmer Fredette is one of my favorites. Tyler Hansbrough, you know, the number one rated player to ever play for North Carolina basketball. That's right. He's ahead of Vince Carter. He's ahead of Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
He's ahead of Larry Bird. He's ahead of all of them. He won the MVP. He won a national championship. And... well, because I used to watch a lot of college basketball, naturally he's going to be one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
A little unfortunate that his style of play wasn't, I don't know, he couldn't adapt it to the NBA style of play, mainly because in college,
it's very tough.
Would just outbody everybody because he was a massive freak of nature. And when he got to NBA, he was like, oh, everybody's my size.
Everybody's worked out his heart.
Yeah. So that was the one advantage he has. So now he's probably on vacation somewhere, but I hope he's enjoying himself, having a good time.
And you never know. He might come back.
He might come back. He's probably in his early 30s by this point, so probably past his prime. But I feel like he's just a straight-up grinder, which I really like, too. And grinders can last for a long time as long as they stay big and hustle.
Oh, exactly.
Like Chuck Hayes. He did that for a while.
Chuck Hayes was in the league for a while, and he did put in a lot of work. Played for the Raptors as well.
Yes, he did. He was just a big, hefty, absolute unit, that guy.
And talking about the Raptors, I want to move us on to something else. Your favorite team, Joey, and the NBA.
Raptors. No question. I live near the GTA, not as near as some people, but I'm within driving distance anyways. If I want to go see a game, it takes maybe an hour. So Raptors have always been my favorite. I've always watched them really closely, and they're super, super exciting to watch this year. So
I'm really definitely
looking forward to seeing them in the playoffs, see what they can do. No DeRozan, so hopefully with our more consistent Kawhi, we can clutch a few game sevens and win a finals.
So we definitely have a lot to talk about the NBA because a lot has happened since the beginning of the season. I have started this podcast kind of halfway through it just because I wanted to see what's going on. Definitely the Raptors with Kawhi Leonard are killing it. First place in the Eastern Conference. But I got to ask before that, why Toronto? Why the Raptors? We've never won a championship, Joe. Why is it that you love them so?
Why the Raptors? Why, you mean why are going to be a championship team? Or why do I like them so much?
Why did you pick them as your favorite team?
As far as proximity goes, they're the closest to me, so naturally, I'm going to be a fan. But as far as style of play goes, I've always liked their style of play, and I always liked their personality. Like, they just seem like they're more homely than other teams. Like, they're all good friends, they treat each other well, they always have a really heavy focus on team chemistry and bonding. I don't know, right. It's more like a family. Like, everybody's kissing each other's babies and stuff.
Kyle Lowry, who kissed a baby the other game. We don't know whose baby that was. Also, there's a lot of reportings of them hanging out in Toronto and having dinner at, like, really famous locations.
Yeah. And you can probably see them in public. Like, if you go out around enough, I think these guys are out in public much as anybody else. You can probably see them at some of these restaurants if you go to them.
Bruno Caboclo and Nogueira were infamous to going to this Brazilian meat restaurant.
Oh, so, I bet.
I so you can see things. Them all the time there. So the Raptors, how do you think they're doing so far in the season?
So far, I'm pretty sure they're number one in the standings, so can't complain. That's definitely a first.
Do you think that's going to keep up? Like, I don't know. I've watched a lot of Raptors seasonal plays, and I've been disappointed quite a few times. So what do you think might be different?
Yeah, we've all been heartbroken once or twice or three times or four times.
Oh, with a lot of players too.
The difference is that they have two new players who are, so far this season, the most consistent Raptors I've seen, aside from maybe, actually, just about all the Raptors have been incredibly consistent so far, which is one thing we've never seen before. Everybody kind of has hot streaks and cold streaks on the Raptors, but so far, pretty much the whole starting five, from Leonard to Ibaka, Kyle Lowry, Danny Green, who else do they have on there? You got OG, they got Pascal. Everybody's performing super well. So I'm hoping when they get to the playoffs, that continues, because typically they didn't have enough support behind Lowry and DeRozan in the playoffs, and everybody else would have to kind of depend on them while they took almost all the shots. But now pretty much everybody on the Raptors is a shot maker, and they're really prioritizing ball movement over ISO, which is how it was before. And Kawhi is a little bit ball dominant, but that's not a problem because he's one of the best players in the league. And he's still like half as ball dominant as DeRozan was, but he's a little more efficient. And yes. He'll get other people involved. And I think he's just going to be more clutch than DeRozan has been in the past because he's always been a little... I think he gets in his head when the playoffs come, thinks about it too much, but Kawhi just balls. So.
That's right. And I would argue as well that Kawhi and Danny Green both have a lot more playoff experience or better playoff experience with their team.
One of them's finals MVP.
Exactly. And another thing that I'm kind of noticing now, I don't know if you remember when DeRozan was around, but he kind of wanted to do that Jimmy Butler hero ball thing.
Oh, yeah. He loved the hero ball.
But sometimes he wasn't very good at hero ball.
Well, he lost a lot of playoff series, so I'm going to agree with you on that one.
So it's nice to see that Kawhi isn't as demanding, like you said.
Yeah. And also, I'd like to point out the fact that even if Kawhi or Danny Green could be having a bit of a poor shooting night, they're always going to be playing absolutely stellar defense. They're probably the two best defenders on the Raptors. And those are two defenders that just came out of nowhere to make the team way better, in my opinion. So they're going to defend, they're going to get steals, they're going to get fast breaks and easy buckets. So that's something we never had before.
Definitely. That's what a lot of people overlook, the fact that these guys actually add even more defense to an already great defensive team.
Yeah. I wonder what they're rated in the NBA right now as a team for defense.
So
it's probably quite high.
As much as we love the Raptors, we know, and as high as they're seeded right now, who do you think is the biggest threat in the East right now?
In the East?
Yes. Who do you think, who are you scared of when the Raptors play somebody?
At this point, it's hard for me to really see an East team that can really contend with them.
Maybe, oh, really?
I want to say Boston, only because they have Kyrie Irving, and he can put a team on his back and carry pretty much everybody, no matter how poorly they're doing when the playoffs come. But his team's kind of underperforming a little bit.
They've been in a slump. I don't
know. Yeah, they've been in a slump. They were projected to be probably the second best team in the East, but I'm not sure it's looking that way right now.
What about the 76ers? Just acquiring... we have to talk about the acquiring of Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid all playing together now.
I forgot about those guys. Those guys could be real contenders as well. They're probably going to be much stronger than Boston now that you mention it.
And it seems that Jimmy Butler enjoys actually playing with this team, unlike the Timberwolves, where he kind of trolled the GM a little bit, right?
Well, Philly's paying him money, so they're going to pay him more than Minnesota was going to, so...
Very
definitely
true.
Definitely like his team more.
Hopefully he'll make it to the summer camp.
Be happy. And also they are a pretty competitive team.
And then I have to talk about as well Giannis. Giannis playing for the Bucks and Chris Middleton as well. They haven't been doing too shabby either.
Giannis has been an absolute monster. I think he's averaging like 27 and 13 right now. 27 points, 13 boards.
Oh my and goodness.
How tall is he? Like 6'11"?
He has to be at least, yeah, he has to be at the 7 foot mark. He is so tall.
Yeah, just a freak of nature. Yeah, the Greek freak. He can handle, he can shoot, he can do literally anything you want on a basketball court. The perfect player. Do you think he's going to be MVP this season?
I'm wondering. I heard Shaq had called him, had given him the nickname Superman now. It's going to be a big toss-up. I don't know if he might get it. In the standings, I think Steph Curry, just because we haven't seen him as well playing with Golden State since his injury, but we've seen kind of the impact it's had on the team since he's not played. I think they're 6 losses on the road and 5 wins with him gone. Or not on the road, but 5 wins, 6 losses since Steph Curry's injury. But Kevin Durant also kind of proved at the last Raptors game, 51 points, was it?
Yeah, 51.
Yeah, that he wants to be MVP too. Like, there's so many people that I could see. I think Giannis might be the closest, though, just because he's so consistent with his team.
Yeah, also, Giannis is in a situation where if he's not going to be that dominant, then the Bucks are not doing well. But with Steph Curry being out, you can and Green being out, KD is still willing them to wins. But true. Their team is so good that they have KD, they have Steph Curry. They're naturally going to take away a little bit from each other in that MVP race anyways. Yeah. If they were on their own, they probably would be even more productive than they are now, which is pretty crazy to think, and almost shoo-ins for MVP. But I think Giannis has it pretty much on lockdown at that point. I think Giannis, and then probably my next bet would be Joel Embiid. Have you seen any of his numbers recently?
I haven't seen his numbers, but I've seen he really took over the 76ers. I thought you were going to say Kawhi, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. Well, Kawhi would probably be my third choice, but Joel Embiid is having, surprisingly, a more dominant season than Kawhi. He's pretty much putting up Giannis numbers. He's very close to those. And I know it's not all about numbers, but I'm pretty sure the MVP voting, that's all before playoffs start, right?
Yeah, it is definitely before the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, as far as regular season goes, I feel like Joel Embiid will have a bit of the upper hand on Kawhi, because also Kawhi's kind of, I think he's taking it easy a little bit. Like, he's taking games off, with the Raptors advisory, but he's taking games off. They're not going to play him like full minutes if they don't need to. They know they're playing for the playoffs. Well, Joel Embiid and the Sixers are just going hard every game, and they're probably going to try to win as much as possible to get the best possible seed in the playoffs, because the Raptors kind of know they're going to get first anyways. So,
but Joel has a kryptonite on his, not a kryptonite, but maybe an obstacle he has to overhaul himself.
Yeah, it's a bit of a disadvantage, but that's okay. I don't think Kawhi is super concerned about becoming the MVP. I think he just wants to win a championship.
Yeah, that's true too. But Joel Embiid, he's going to have to fight that Jimmy Butler guy again. He keeps coming up. Jimmy Butler thinks that the 76ers are his team now.
Yeah, no matter what, Jimmy Butler can't get out of any NBA discussion. He just wants to be in all the news.
Because I think he's trying to, with those game winners, he's trying to be like the man, the clutch man, and I think he's trying to take it from Joel.
Those are actually pretty nice. But I don't know. I think the Sixers can definitely use that. Joel Embiid, I know he can hit clutch shots, but he doesn't have the ability to create an ISO from the three-point line the way Jimmy can. Mm-hmm. Jimmy's just so quick. He can just beat his man off the drive. He can pull up and do whatever he wants, so.
Exactly. That's yeah. So another question that I have as well, he might be the last kind of contendant for you for the MVP, but if LeBron brings his team to the playoffs, could we see him as a potential MVP? Because literally, he will be dragging his team, kicking and screaming. Lonzo there by the hair.
Yeah, LeBron would probably be number four on my list, because as good as LeBron is, I feel like the NBA people and the fans will just think, well, LeBron's got it so many times already. We know he's the best player in the world. Let someone else have a turn.
Oh, that's a good point. People, it's right. It's the voting. It's a popularity thing.
But he could definitely earn it. I think he deserves it. But there are a lot of players that deserve it this year.
Oh, definitely. I think another important thing to look at besides the MVP as well is there's been a lot of good rookies this year.
So, ooh, I was just going to mention that.
Yeah. So who do you think is going to get the... Because like those guys have been almost on par.
Oh, yeah.
With the MVP. So who do you think is going to... A couple guys that I have on my list are like Trae Young, Luka Doncic.
I want to hear who you think the MVP or the most valuable rookie will be, or whatever it's called, rookie of the year. I want to see if you have the same one.
Okay. I'll go first. Markel Fultz. No, I'm joking. I definitely don't think it's Markel Fultz, but I just wanted to say that. My number one would be Luka Doncic.
Oh, that would have been mine too. That guy's unreal. He's so much fun to watch.
I think at the beginning of the season, I would have said Trae Young, no heartbeat. I think he was bringing Atlanta wins, but something's up right now, and I don't know what it is. I still think he's in contending, but Luka has just been killing it.
Luka stole the show. He's going to be an all-star within, like, 2 years, probably.
The man is a savage.
He'll probably be an all-star next year, honestly. He's so good.
He can dunk. There's nothing he can shoot from the three. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's been a pro since he was, like, 16 in Europe. So he has tons of experience already. You can kind of tell that the transition to the NBA compared to the college players has been nothing for him. Because it's, like, the same old song and dance.
It's crazy, like, how young he is for a rookie as well. Because some of those rookies are a little bit, like, they're early 20s. But he's 19,
how old is
I think.
He? Wow,
I think he's 19.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Could you imagine, like, coming out of high school and playing in the NBA?
It makes me so sad that we're, like, 4 years older than him. What are we doing?
Oh my goodness. Oh, wasn't he, like, 17 when he was in the EuroLeague or whatever it was?
Yeah, he was, like, 16 or 17. It's like, I think Ricky Rubio did the same thing. Except I think Luka's going to have a much bigger impact on the league.
You know what? I think Bargnani might... Is Bargnani still playing in the EuroLeague?
I believe so, yeah.
So I think Luka asked Bargnani to his high school prom because Luka would have been of that age. So I think him and Bargnani, good friends in the league.
You can definitely see Bargnani in a tux, Luka in a little dress with his little flower on his chest. That looks so cute.
Could you imagine the little picture they have? They're both on one knee with the basketball in their arm. Neither of them doesn't want to have the basketball. They both want to have it. Oh, man. So, like, with the NBA rookie players and the all-star players that, like, we've mentioned, has there been any favorite plays that you've had of this year so far? Like, anything
any
that just stood
plays?
Out? Yeah.
Let me think. I've seen a lot of, like, absolute long bombs this year. I love seeing people drain threes from, like, 35 feet.
Yeah.
I've seen LeBron hit a fadeaway from, like, 35 feet.
Oh, my goodness,
Kyle Lowry
yes.
does that on a nightly basis. Damian Lillard does that all the time. Just in general, that's my favorite thing to watch. But I think Kyle Lowry is probably the best at it.
And Kyle Lowry does it when he's moving. Like, he jumps in the air, he's still moving, like, sideways, and the ball just goes straight into the hoop. Oh,
yeah,
man.
It's so hype. I love watching that. I'm pretty sure he shoots, like, 45% from beyond 30 feet this season.
Oh, well. He has to. And Damian Lillard is also up there, like you've said as well. Like, I don't know how these guys, how do they do it? How do they just huck it up, and it's just, it goes in?
Sometimes you just feel it. I remember you talking about your, you had one game where you probably felt like Damian Lillard when you were playing your league.
Yes, when I, like, hucked, like, I think, do we have, like, the time was expiring? And I hucked it from, like, I don't know, 3 feet from the three line. And it just sunk in, and I was like, oh my god, I missed all those threes in the whole game. Yeah.
But the highlights only watch the ones that count.
That's right, that's right. The team only remembers the clutch plays, right?
You only see the makes.
So, Joey, talking about, like, our own basketball experience, I want to make this podcast a little bit different. Instead of just talking about the NBA, I like to talk to my guests about their basketball experience. So, what has been, like, your first memory of basketball, either watching or playing it? Do you remember?
Ooh, that is a long time ago. I started playing when I was 5.
Whoa.
And I remember, I remember playing in a small gym where we only use the side nets and then put it as low as it can go so we can actually shoot on them. And I don't remember that much. I remember there being one really pale kid, also named Luca, who I ended up going to high school with. But I thought he was a vampire and I always had to guard him because he's one of the few players that actually knew how to dribble. And he always terrified me because he was super pale and white. I thought he was going to bite me in the throat.
Like the real Luka.
And I remember this other kid who would never go on the other side of the court because he said he was defense. That was really interesting.
At 5 years old, you're kind of an expert at these things.
Yep. And my dad was the coach at the time, and he would always try to tell him to go on the other side of the court, but he never would.
I'm defense. Played,
like, the whole season like that.
Joey's dad, trust me, I'm defense. I'm Kawhi Leonard. He's like, but Kawhi went to the other side of the court. Oh, man. That's hilarious.
That kid won Defensive Player of the Year that year.
No, he didn't.
Maybe it worked.
I get, you know, that would have been funny if there was those awards for, like, five-year-olds. And yeah. That was his strategy all along.
Most improved player. Wait.
So from 5 years old, you played high school basketball. Or when did you say it kind of picked up? Because you are kind of like a real baller.
Probably. Well, I wasn't good at basketball until I started in high school. Mm. Probably my first game of grade 9, I started feeling like really confident. I think I scored like 18 points in my first game.
Ooh. And
I didn't really know what I was doing at the time. And like, I've never played like real competitive basketball at the time. But my coach was super excited about that. I didn't really do that again for a while, but then I got super excited about it. I don't know. I just went to the Y every single day with my friends and started playing more and more and more until, you know, I could play with anybody. And now I just feel super, well, I used to feel super confident. I've gotten kind of lazy ever since I graduated college, but back in the day, I felt felt better.
Kind of the Jimmer Fredette you were. With that talent, starting your first season with 18 points, like, that's pretty good.
Yeah, not too bad. That's probably the most I scored that year.
So, like, when you were in high school and obviously college, we had such a fun time becoming intramural basketball champions. You helping us as an MVP, leading our team essentially. You play point guard. Do you have any, like, favorite moves that you use when you play, or anything crazy that you like to kind of use on the defenders?
I have one defensive move and one offensive move. My defensive move, for some reason, I always love guarding big post players, because I just try to be as annoying as possible. Especially when I played travel in U19, and the competition was really, really good, because we used to play Division 1, and there were some really like big boys. So whenever you have a big husky fella backing you down, you got to give him little pinches to his sides. And sometimes, oh, my favorite one was when they're trying to give the guy an entry pass. You just give a quick grab in their side near where their kidney is. If you've ever done that to somebody, it really tickles, and they never expect to get tickled in a basketball game. So there's one time when I did that, and my guy actually like fully turned around, and the ball like hit him in the back.
Oh, he lost.
He was pretty mad at me.
Oh,
but I did that to another big guy and got elbowed in the throat. So that one was not the best. But we got the foul, so it's all good.
Yeah. Oh man. But yeah, I picked up some of those skills for defensive as well. I don't know if it's like, it doesn't feel like cheating, but it feels a little like...
It's cheap. Like, players don't like other players that do that. But when you're in a competitive enough environment, as long as you're not, like, trying to hurt somebody. Like, that, it's annoying, but it's not going to hurt anybody. Like, don't, like, undercut somebody when they're going for a layup or, like, do anything that could harm somebody. But small things like that, they're super annoying. They'll get on the other team's nerves and throw them off their game. And sometimes you need that little edge.
You start running after, like, a guy who has a breakaway, try to start, like, tickling him on the breakaway.
That's exactly what you need to do. Oh, or maybe you can, like, maybe catcall him, make him feel a little uncomfortable, maybe he'll blush.
Oh, my goodness. I love that. Yeah, to be honest, I use that sometimes when some players are getting really intense, because I don't like pushing back when they like to kind of shove up against you.
Yeah, yeah.
The tickle is much more docile.
Yeah, sometimes you don't want to match their aggression, because I know you're not typically a very angry person, and lot of people that play basketball are like either really egotistical, or they'll get really angry and they'll trash talk and they'll try to assert dominance on everybody, and like they'll try to T-pose on you and stuff. But
yeah, I have to say as well,
what were you saying?
You're definitely somebody as well who doesn't trash talk, like. I actually have gotten into bad habits of starting to trash talk really low, where I'll yell like "ball don't lie" or like grab and say N1 or "don't reach, young blood."
yeah, that's good trash talking. That's competitive. You're not like Kevin Garnett telling, like asking people. I'm pretty sure he asked somebody how their mother was doing after she like died of cancer. Oh yeah, he was pretty brutal.
I was reading somewhere, I think, that he did an interview. He said that he'd actually like researched up on players he was playing against.
No for way.
Smack talk.
Wow, that's next level.
That is too intense.
And that's the thing, gets in people's heads, and that'll throw them off too. So maybe that's why they do it.
You do an amazing job of like, you don't trash talk, you have very good composure on the court. Like, I will do stare down sometimes, but you are very good in terms of that. I think you're a model player that a lot of kids should actually look up to. So what's your offensive move? You told us your defensive move, the tickle.
it's hard to explain, but I don't really have many offensive moves. I usually just do like a jab step and drive, or a crossover and drive, like just one move and go. But one of my favorite moves I always do is I'll face away from my defender and then do crossover behind the back, like right in front of the defender. Ooh. And usually they'll reach for it when you do that, but you'll do a crossover hard enough and they won't be able to grab it. And then whatever hand your ball lands in, you spin the other direction around your defender all in one motion, and they can almost never react to it. It works really well on the, if you're in the corner in a tight spot on the baseline or something like that, then you can just do a quick behind the back crossover and spin and just beat your man baseline or something like that.
That is a super cool move.
I do that one all the time. I think it's typically a Jason Williams move. I think he started that.
Man, I like that move. I think the people at home will really appreciate that. Try that out, maybe.
I think the professor did that, but he does it way better. He does it super clean.
Oh, the professor.
I learned it from.
Let's switch gears back to the NBA here, as we're starting to get a little closer to the end. I want to know your bets, Joey. Who is going to be in the Eastern Conference playoffs, and who is going to be in the Western Conference playoffs this year? What teams do you think?
The playoffs as a whole? Or like top three?
Yeah, let's do top three, because maybe if we name all of them, it's really hard sometimes because like the middle pact right now is so hard.
Let me, I'm just going to pull up a list of the teams so I don't forget any, and I'll give you my predictions.
Okay. Yeah, because you know, like some of them, like the Clippers are up there, but I don't know if we're going to see them forever.
Oh yeah, the Clippers Grizzlies. Are definitely up there. They're looking nice.
The Grizzlies are there too.
Very spice. I'm just going to do a quick web page load here. I want to see what teams are in the conferences, just to make sure I don't mess anything up. And then I'll give you my predictions.
All right.
Okay, here we go. I got them up.
Okay, so who do you think in the East and the West?
Okay. In the East, I'm going to go from 8th to 1st.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to guess that I think the Wizards are going to figure it out. I think they're going to sneak in.
They're going to figure out Bradley Beal and the whole John Wall and Otto Portman kind of drama.
Yeah, I think they're going to figure it out, you know. I think John Wall is just too good to not be in the playoffs. As much as he has friction with his teammates, I think they're going to sneak ahead.
And Dwight Howard, don't forget him.
I'm
going
to say them. Then number 7, I'm going to go with the Magic.
Ooh.
Number 6, spicy. I'm going to say Celtics.
Ooh.
I don't know. I don't think the Celtics... I thought they were going to be so much better, but they've been disappointing me a little bit this season.
Yeah, I can see them kind of going into the lower playoff seed.
Yeah, I still think they're going to do really well when they get to playoffs. I think they'll win the first round at least, but I don't think they're going to be super highly seeded.
Oh, yeah.
Next, I'm going to say Dwayne Casey's Pistons.
Oh, baby, they have been doing well with Dwayne.
Yeah, and they don't really have... Do they have any real stars on that team?
Blake Griffin!
Oh, Blake, that's right. Well, even he's like a second-tier star. I think they just have really good players all around.
He dropped 50 as well.
Did he actually?
Yeah, he dropped like 51 game, I think.
Wow, I can't believe that. Okay, yeah, he's a star. I'm sorry I insulted you, Blake.
Andre Drummond, and who's that other guy? Reggie Jackson?
Drummond's a beast this year, and Reggie Jackson's always good.
Yeah.
So they're going to take my fifth spot. I think nice. Pacers are going to take my fourth spot. Bucks are going to take my third spot.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what did I just say?
The Bucks are going to take your third spot.
What did I say before that?
You said that Pacers will take the fourth spot?
Pacers, fourth, Bucks, third. I'm going to say 76ers with Joel Embiid are going to come second.
Ooh.
And Raptors are a shoo-in for first.
Of course!
That top three, though, I don't know. I think the Bucks and 76ers are both so good that anything can happen there.
But nothing will happen to the Raptors. They are amazing.
The Raptors, nobody's touching them. They're 19-4. Come on.
They're dominating. Touches them. All right.
And as far as the West goes.
Ooh, the West is a battle. And there's West so many big players.
Yeah, there are big names on every team. And the standings are really close, actually.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's going to be Utah in eighth.
Utah Jazz?
Yep, Utah Jazz in eighth.
With Ricky Rubio?
Mavericks. Yep. Mm-hmm. Wait. Oh, yeah, Ricky Rubio does play for them. They just have like a grind-out team. I like the way they play. I'm going to say Jazz in 8th, Mavericks in 7th, because, you know, Luka's got to make playoffs the first year for the storyline.
Got to make Papa Dirk proud.
Line. Yep. Got to make... Is Dirk playing? Did he retire?
I think he's playing, but I think he's been injured for a while. I think this might be his last season.
Oh, that's sad. I want him to play forever. So, Mavericks are going to get 7th. Let's see.
This is where it gets tricky.
I think Trailblazers are making it 6th. You know what? I think the Lakers are going to have too hard times. They're not making playoffs this year. Sorry, LeBron.
Whoa, what a call here. LeBron James is not dragging the Lakers to the playoffs?
That's a hot take. I don't think he cares enough because he knows that he's not winning this year anyways. So he's probably just going to take it easy. He's playing for next year.
I think he's also trying to get some, like, he wants some more, a second man. He doesn't really have one. Like, he wants to get rid of, I don't know, either Ingram, Hart, or Ball.
Yeah.
But Lonzo's dad would be so mad
if that happened. I don't think he cares that much about Lonzo's dad, to be honest.
Oh, yeah, he definitely doesn't. But, yeah, one of those guys has to go, I think.
LeBron can just tell the GM to do whatever he wants.
He's essentially the coach, GM, owner of the team.
I've heard him hyping up Kuzma and Lonzo a little bit, though.
Oh, so then maybe it's Ingram that he's going to get rid of.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm
no.
pretty sure Ingram's like one of the. I don't know.
Ingram's not bad either.
He hasn't
been
doing very well from what I've heard. And apparently he looks like a skeleton with his shirt off.
Oh no. LeBron said that in an interview. Ingram looks like a skeleton. No, I wish that. Ingram doesn't need a Halloween costume.
I saw. Do you know how last game Kevin Durant had a bet with Drake?
Oh yeah.
Did you hear about that?
For their jersey and the jacket, but. Drake's jacket was so small anyway.
I know. I have no idea how it would have fit him. But Kevin Durant took his shirt off to give it to Drake, and he was just skin and bones. He had no muscle.
Oh my goodness.
He obviously doesn't need it, but...
Stick man.
I was surprised by how skin was. I could see his spine through his stomach.
Oh no. So you said your first number 8 seed is going to be... Oh, I forgot already. The Utah Jazz, and then the Mavericks... And then it's going to be the Trailblazers. And so
Trailblazers are in, Lakers are out. That was my number 6, I believe.
Yes.
6 is the Trailblazers. My number 5 will be the Grizz. Those guys are just... Actually, you know what? 5 are going to be Thunder.
Ooh, my boy, Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, I think Westbrook is really solo carrying right now. and I'm not entirely sure he has it in him to completely will his team up to the upper half of this bracket. I think the Grizzlies are going to be fourth, and the Thunder are going to be fifth. And the Grizzlies, okay. Marc Gasol and Mike Conley, they just never die. They're so old. They're just performing better and better, better each year.
As long as they're healthy, they play amazing.
Yeah, and I think they can stay healthy. It doesn't seem like they overdo it too much, especially Marc Gasol. He plays like within his own limits. He knows his limits.
Oh, definitely. After being in the game so long?
Yeah, after that long. And he does a lot of long-range shooting now, so he's not always banging around in the post. I think he'll be fine. Number three on my list, I'm going to say the Nuggets.
Ooh.
The Nuggets are doing super well. They've kind of been the underdog story of this season. Nobody expected that, eh?
They just play team basketball. They don't really have it. Do they have any big stars on their team?
I was trying to think of that. They have Jamal Murray.
Jamal Murray, that's it then.
That's the only one I can really think of. Huh. But he's been playing out of his mind too.
I'm really excited for
him to come play back in Toronto.
Yeah, that number would be crazy.
Yeah, everybody's going to be hyped for him. They'll probably give him a standing ovation at the start of the game. My numero due will be the Clippers.
Ooh.
And my numero uno, naturally, is going to be the Warriors.
Of course. Of course. Yeah.
The only reason they've fallen this far is because of injuries, and as soon as they're back, they're going to win every single game.
Oh, after Christmas, I'm going to start crying. I'm not going to watch the West anymore. DeMarcus Cousins is going to start playing. I'm going to cry.
Oh, I forgot about that.
It's going to be stupid.
Yeah. Wizards are going to be in the finals no matter what. I don't know how they got better this year. I don't know how they got more stars on their team.
I don't know. I hope Kevin Durant or Klay, one of them leaves. It'd be really funny if Kevin Durant trolled the NBA, left Golden State, and went to the Lakers. I think that would have been so funny.
That'd be intense. It'd be more intense, though, if he left and went to the Shanghai Sharks.
Oh my god, he would destroy that league.
Light it up with Jimmer.
I could tell you nobody would
score
predict
like 95%
that.
Of their baskets.
They just have like NBA like film crews that are there, but they're not like an NBA organization. They're just
yeah, just
Kevin
because
Durant's
there's
highlights.
So much star power.
It's Jimmer Fredette and Kevin Durant playing for Shanghai Sharks. All right. So we are going to go into one of our segments now. It's called the Scouting Report. Joey, you're a big Raptors fan, so I got to ask you some Raptors trivia, if that's all right with you.
All right, go for it.
All right, so this is going to see how big of a fan you are of the Raptors. We're going to start with your pick. Do you want the player with the most points per game that's ever played for the Raptors, or the most three-point goals in total?
Ooh, let's go points per game.
Okay, points per game. So who do you think in the top 10 list, can you name five? Let's just see if you can name five.
Ooh, okay. Five out of the top 10? I'm going to say Vince Carter.
Yes, number one, Vince Carter.
Yep. This is points per game average, right?
Yes, so he has 23.4 at the top.
Okay. Next, we're going to have DeMar DeRozan.
Number three with 19.7.
He's probably not next on the list, though, is he?
No, he's number three.
So DeMar, Vince, Chris Bosh for sure.
Number two, you got the number two.
There we go. Let's see. Can I pick Kawhi?
Are you going to pick
Kawhi? Because he's been playing long enough to have an average that would count. Probably not, right?
I don't think.
This is like rap history.
In this site, I can do that. Yeah, because technically you need to finish a season, I think it is.
Okay, makes sense.
But he'd be up there, I think.
Is Damon Stoudemire on there?
Oh my goodness, you named number four. You almost have all the top five.
Who would be number five?
Oh, it's really good. It's close, but I think you'll get it.
I'm trying to think back to the old Raptors.
I don't want to get
it. Did Alonzo Mourning play for the Raptors?
I can't remember, but...
Is he on your list anywhere?
He's not on my list.
I feel like he was playing up with the Raptors at the end of his career, so he wasn't as good.
Yeah. So
Mo Peterson?
Mo Peterson is not on my list either. Oh, no.
Mo Pete, no.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry.
Yeah, you got it. Number five.
I wasn't even thinking about Kyle Lowry.
Oh, my goodness. So, yeah, then it goes Kyle Lowry, Jalen Rose, Walt Williams, oh, yeah. Andre Bargnani, Doug Christie, and Donnelly Marshall.
Oh, right. I forgot about Doug Christie. Completely forgot about Lowry.
No, very impressive, though. Even though, like, you missed a couple, like, just, like, trying to figure out some of the names, you got the top five. You guessed them. Wow. That is incredible.
The top five for a reason. They're pretty well-known. They're good at what they do.
I did lie, though. I said Mo Peterson wasn't on... Well, he wasn't on this list, but he might be on another list. Do you think you can name the top three-point specialists for the Raptors? The most 3 points in their whole career with the Raptors.
Mo Peterson.
Mo Peterson is number two. That's right. Morris Peterson.
I wonder. There aren't a ton of Raptors that played for a long time. I'm going to say Jason Capone.
Jason Capone is not on this list.
Ooh, he must not have been playing long enough. I think he only played for like two seasons, but he was just such a good shooter that I thought he might make it.
Unfortunately, no.
Del Curry?
No. Del Curry is also not on here with the 3 point. It's like the most accumulative. Just remember that.
Okay.
So most he was also a very good player.
Well, Kyle Lowry, I'll put on there.
Number one, Kyle Lowry.
He's obligatory. Vince Carter?
Vince Carter is number five, yes. Who do you think would have been number three, though? He might not... it's so weird. I wouldn't have thought of him as a number three specialist.
TJ Ford?
No.
Jose Calderon!
Jose Calderon is number six. It's actually Terrence Ross.
Oh, no way! Three. Are you serious?
And then Andre Bargnani is number four.
I see he did play for them for a while. And Andrea Bargnani is going to be on that list, too.
Okay, so on our last trivia, you're doing really well with this trivia. You're showing the people that you got the magic, my friend.
All right.
You know the Raptors. My last one, I want to hear blocks. Who do you think... Do you want to do top five again, or do you want to do top three?
Let me think.
They just got to be on my list.
I'll do top ten.
You think you can name 10 block specialists?
Or top five. Five out of the top 10, maybe.
I was going to say, that's good. Five, and it's the most blocks in their career overall. Okay. But it's kind of obvious who has them.
Okay. I'm going to say Chris Bosh.
Number one, Chris Bosh with 600.
Jonas Valanciunas.
Number three, Jonas Valanciunas. That's right, 476 blocks. That's two people. Very good.
Who else could have been a big boy? I'm trying to remember the old centers.
Some big boys. Matt Bonner? No, Matt Bonner is not on this list, unfortunately.
No, I'm kidding. Maybe Amir Johnson?
Oh my god, how are you so good at this? That's number two. So you got the top three already.
Well, he has to be... He has to be up there. He was there for quite a while. But I want to think of some of the older players.
Because there are older players in here, and you have the right idea. The top three you have. That's crazy. You're good at this.
There's one player specifically. I can think of his face, but I can't think of his name.
All right. We're almost done. Number four. Who do you think number four?
Andrea Bargnani.
Andrea Bargnani is number six in my list. So very good.
Okay, well, that's not too bad. I was hoping to remember some other ones, but I can't remember any of the old players for some reason. What was number four?
Number four is Vince Carter.
Really? Oh, I guess he had like a 45-inch vertical, so that makes sense.
Number five is Antonio Davis.
Oh, yeah, that's the one I tried to remember.
Yeah. Number seven is Marcus Camby.
Oh, yeah.
Tracy McGrady. That's a very good one that I think a lot of people forget.
Marcus Camby?
No, Tracy McGrady.
Oh, Tracy McGrady. Yeah.
Yeah. Keon Clark and Oliver Miller. Those are the last two.
I'm not familiar with Oliver Miller.
I don't think, yeah, me neither.
But all the other ones I should have known.
Definitely. All right, we've come to the...
What you gonna do?
We've come to the last segment of our show. It's called Court Vision. Joey, before we leave, I like to talk to ballers like you to make my podcast a little bit more out of the box than your ordinary basketball podcast. Can you tell the people a tip when playing basketball? Something that will help improve their game or help them, you know, improve just their IQ within basketball?
Well, I gotta say, having a positive attitude in general will always help you perform better. If you stay positive, never get down when you miss a shot. Well, most shooters know that anyways, but shooters will get in slumps. You gotta shoot yourself out of it.
Exactly.
Always be positive. Don't complain to the refs. Don't complain and call your teammates.
Don't fight your teammates.
Yeah, don't fight your teammates. We've all seen that. And yeah, the more positive you are, generally everybody around you will feel more positive as well. Everybody will feel hyped up. They'll be all feeling good, confident, and they'll, you know, they'll probably perform better, and you will too. Also, I gotta say, talking in general is the most important thing you can possibly do on a basketball court. You should be talking constantly on offense, talking constantly at defense, because not everybody can see everything you do. So that way you have five pairs of eyes to see the court instead of your one pair of eyes. You should always be letting people know when there's like backdoor cuts coming, where screens are coming from, and that'll, at any skill level, no matter how good you think you are, that will always take your game to the next level.
So I kind of have the idea to talk while I'm doing defense, calling out screens, yelling at the cutters.
Yeah.
I haven't gotten used to talking on offense. So what should I say, or what should I be yelling at my teammates when we're going in the offense?
Well, it's more important on defense than offense, but you can always call for when you see a man open. Sometimes you gotta let the point guard know. They might not see, or whoever is handling the ball. Sometimes if you see a mismatch, you gotta call it out, because not everybody's gonna see it. Like if you see if somebody switches, and let's say they have a big man guarding a guard somewhere on the wing, or if you see that you have somebody a little bit bigger that can post up on one of the blocks, you gotta let people know there's a mismatch, get the ball over there. And just calling out plays in general, but yeah, it's important all around.
I think I'll improve my game a little bit by doing that now.
Oh yeah, definitely. Heard it here first.
Well, thank you so much for those tips. Those are excellent tips for our game, Joey. Thank you so much for being on our show. One last question. Team Chris Paul or Rondo?
Ooh, that's a tough one. I like Team Rondo.
Team Rondo, I think a lot of people would agree as well. Again, Joey, it's been great having you. Great having your opinion on the NBA, having those tips on what we should do when we're playing basketball as ballers ourselves. For our last segment, the post-game interview, do you have anything you'd like to say, where we can follow you or catch you on the internet webs?
You can catch me outside.
That's a great call out. All right, guys. So thank you so much for listening to our first episode of the Ball is Life podcast. We'll see you in episode 2, I guess.
Yeah.
Bye.